So yesterday, Kunti is praying to Krishna, appreciating his qualities, how he's beyond this material nature, invisible to the foolish rascals, although he's within and without everything. He comes for the Paramahansas, so Kunti says, but actually, the truth is he comes for the devotees, like Kunti. And so Kunti is glorifying his name, his form, Namo Pankajanabhaya, and appreciating how he is a person and his beautiful personality. So we had some homework for yesterday, and that was how to see Krishna in your life, perhaps in a different way, or perhaps in an unusual way, or perhaps in a way that you always see him, but different. Yes, Anit?
Yeah, this atheist on the street yesterday.
Oh, we met an atheist on Harinam yesterday.
He was a really heavy duty atheist, but yet he couldn't help dancing.
I know. I know. He was just like so against it.
Despite himself, he had to dance.
Yeah, he couldn't stop from dancing.
He couldn't stop, and it was like as if he didn't know what came over him. He was just.
He kept on dancing anyway. With us, he was dancing with us. Yes. I mean, he just couldn't stop himself.
Even though verbally he was just like, he was so angry, and yet his body was dancing.
Yeah, so there Krishna was there. I mean, the soul,
Hare Krishna
was really, yeah, he was dancing, and he was saying, Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
And after he left us, we went away, and then he went and he started bothering the Christians on the other side of the street.
He doesn't believe in God, but God really bothers him.
Yeah, he thinks. I'm sure he thinks about God much more than
yes,
than,
it, you know?
Than a lot of religious people.
Yes.
Because he's against God, so he has to think about God more. Yeah. You know, like yes, Kamsa, like.
I know.
Like
that
also.
And he knew a lot about Krishna. He said, "Oh, yeah. Krishna, he's blue and he plays a flute."
Yeah.
And something about herding the cows. I don't know. He like cavorts with the cows.
Yeah, he had to find out who he's against. Because how can you be against someone if you don't know who they are?
Yeah, but.
At least he does his research about who he doesn't believe in.
They're denying the very person that's making them so angry.
That's right.
You can see Krishna's sense of humor also.
So you saw Krishna in the atheist. That's a really good place to see him. Anybody else see Krishna in a different way yesterday in their life? Or...
Well, in connection with that pastime.
Oh, with the atheist on Hari. Yes, it was quite a Harinam yesterday.
Yeah. I saw him. I remember the Shastric injunction that if we couldn't kill them or defeat them, we should go away.
I was also. I said go away also. Yeah, I was really like, he was. Okay, so you remembered the Shastric injunction about going away.
I also,
that came to my mind. You know, because the Brahmanas will go away. The Kshatriyas will kill them.
Oh, that's right.
The Shudras will commit suicide, like Sati did when she heard the blasphemy of her husband, Lord Shiva. So for different classes of men, the Brahmanas go away if they cannot defeat. So they just go away. And it is an offense to the holy name to instruct the faithless in the glories. So he seemed to already know a lot, but anyway. Okay, anybody else have something yesterday that you saw Krishna in a different way? I was just seeing in my chanting today that my chanting was so much happier after going on Harinam yesterday. I felt like the reciprocation in my japa after spending more time with Krishna in his form of the holy name yesterday than today. It was the japa was very, I felt presence, much more present, Krishna's presence with me. Yes?
Last night we had the classes around science. And
science.
Krishna, and I felt really enlivened afterwards. You know, I felt like mentally nourished, you know. Uh-huh. Thought-provoking, and it's really, really interesting. And like, you know, before you'd hear classes on these topics, but last night, you know, really came alive. You know, really, really feel Krishna in
uh-huh. You felt about Krishna in class.
Yeah.
Very good. So, all of those who missed that class yesterday, is it going to be every night, or is it?
Yeah, it's also the great Sambhat Mark. It was also recorded.
Oh, great! So. You can get it on video if you missed it. Is how long? How many days will that class go on?
Oh, it may go on every day except during the 24-hour.
Every day except and probably Sunday too. Oh, maybe Sunday.
Yeah, probably not Sunday.
Sunday probably won't work.
And also not doing
Saturday. Saturday, except the weekend, it will be every night.
I would say that.
Okay. Fine. So you have something to look forward to. Anybody else have something about Krishna in your life?
So the most focused on Krishna I was singing the Mangal Arati. I was trying to hear the holy name, chant the holy name, and look at the deity, and not think of anything else.
Oh, you know? That's really good.
Yeah, it wasn't possible to do the whole time, but you know, while I was able to be in that frame of mind, it was very powerful.
Because, that was my most powerful experience when I did my first japa reform, was chanting in front of my deities, Radha Govinda, and you have the form of the holy name manifest in front of you, and you're hearing, the sound is there and form is there, so you have two together. Like you're seeing who you're talking to.
Yeah.
So I thought that is very powerful to chant the holy name in front of the deities. Okay, so now today's theme is protection and dependence on Krishna. So verse 23. Yata Rishikesha Kalena Devaki Kangsena Rutati Chiram Sucharpita Vimochitam Cha Sahatmaja Vibha O Rishikesha, Master of the Senses and Lord of Lords, you have released your mother, Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. So we heard about the name, the form, and now we are hearing about his qualities, how he protects his devotees, and his lila also. So Krishna, although he's beyond this material nature and he's not part of this world, still he comes here. He likes to be the hero for his devotees. He likes to be in the drama of this material world. It's everybody's life is a drama. And as I think some famous poet or writer said that, we are all on a stage. Shakespeare, we're on a stage. And it's all a drama, and when we wake up in the morning, we think we are the star of the show, actually. But actually, no, not. It's Krishna. And so, yes, Krishna is the star, and he likes to be the star, he likes to be the hero, because he's a person. He's not simply a force, like many people think he is. He has everything. He has a face, he has eyes, and he has ears, and he has hands and legs. And Srila Prabhupada said that the impersonalists, they call him, they say, you have no ears, you have no legs, you have no hands. So actually they're saying, they're offending him. They're saying, you're blind, you're deaf, you're dumb, you're lame. And so we understand Krishna is a person and he has all the emotions and the qualities that a person will have. And because he's a person, he feels for his devotees and he wants to come here and save them. So in the verse, the end of the verse, Kunti says, you saved us, mohur vipadganat. So mohur means 24 hours, Prabhupada said. Almost 24 hours of danger, again and again. And vipad means danger, ganat means many danger, not just one kind of danger, so many dangers. Now one thing that we should note is that even though Kunti is a great devotee, and Devaki also, intimately connected with Krishna, they had to face so many dangers, so what to speak of ourselves. So we should not be disturbed by the dangers of this material world, face the danger and depend on Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, whatever happens to us is a token reaction to what we should have gotten. One time, Govindarasi, my god sister, she was serving Srila Prabhupada, I think 1967, and she was very sick with a cold and fever. And Prabhupada looked at her and he said, oh, Krishna is checking off your account. So we might get a little cold or something, but actually we should have gotten a lot more. We should have been in the hospital or something. We just get a little cold. And so we have an account that has to be checked off, actually. Of course, we can check it off much faster by chanting and doing devotional service. So Kunti is very grateful to Krishna. She's expressing her gratitude that you have protected us. You vimochita, you have released us from the danger. So Prabhupada said the lesson to learn from Kunti here in his lecture, he said, if you become Krishna conscious, sincere servant of Krishna, don't be agitated by the dangerous condition of this world. Depend on Krishna and he will save you, and nobody else. So people in this world, when they have some danger or problem, what's the first thing they do? Where do they go if they have some danger?
Family members,
or they may phone the police, or
drugs.
Yeah, they take shelter of so many things, but these things are very fallible shelters. So there is, I heard this from, I think, Bhadri Narayan Prabhu. There was one lady, this was in the Midwest. I come from the Midwest of America, and that's where they have these tornadoes. There's these like big whirlwinds, and if they touch down, then they can just wreck everything in their path. Like they take away houses, they take away your roof. So we used to go down, if there was a warning, we would go down in the basement and take shelter there. So one time one tornado was coming, and one lady, she saw it up from her front window, far away. So she picked up the phone. In America, if you have trouble, you dial 911. So she picked up the phone, and then she looked up, and she saw it coming closer, and she saw the police car was in the tornado. So she just put down the receiver and realized, they can't help me. This police car, he himself is in the tornado. How is he going to help me? And this is the fact that everyone here is caught in the same condition of the forest fire. Everyone's in the fire, so how are they going to save you? Unless the person is beyond, above the fire, they cannot save you. So the spiritual master, we sing Sangsara Dava Nalanita Loka, he is above, he can actually put down the fire because he has access to a cloud of mercy. He has access to the mercy cloud, and he is a cloud of mercy himself too. So Kunti now, she will give a list of dangers that she was saved from by Krishna. In verse 24, Ishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanad Asad Sabaya Vanava Sahichata Mide Mide Neka Maharatas Chato Danyas Chitashas Mahare Rakshita. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poison cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama. So one thing to note about this list of dangers, these are just the major ones, there are a lot of minor ones as well. Within each category, within the category of the forest, there are so many things happening that Krishna saved. But one thing to notice about all these things is that the Pandavas came out better after going through the danger. They came out better than before. So one thing, the first thing on the list was Vishan, the poison. Bhima was fed poison by the Kauravas. They were out playing together, and even as young boys, they were still trying to kill the Pandavas. So all the Pandavas except Bhima were left playing with Duryodhana and his brothers, and they fed him some sweets, which Bhima couldn't resist, but these sweets were laced with poison. So he ate them and he fell unconscious. They put him in chains and threw him to the bottom of the Jamuna. But once he got to the bottom, he was bit by snakes who neutralized the poison, by their poison. And then the snakes hosted him, they invited him down to Nagaloka, and they gave him feasts, and they gave him a special drink that would make him 10,000 times stronger than he was before. So after 3 days, he came out invigorated and enlivened and much stronger than he was before. So he came out better, actually, even though whatever they tried to do, the Pandavas would come out stronger after it. So then the house was set on fire, and the Pandavas escaped, and they went to Ekachakra, They were living in a house of a Brahmin, and that particular village was terrorized by a Rakshasa, cannibal, man-eater. And every day, some family had to sacrifice one of their members to feed the Rakshasa. So it came the turn of the family where they were living, and the mother was crying, and the father was crying. The mother was saying, I'll go, you send me. And then the father was saying, no, I'll go. And the daughter was saying, well, I'll go. And the son was saying, no, I'll. And then they decided, we'll all go, because we can't live without each other. So Kunti heard them crying, and she said, hey, I got 5 sons, I'll send one, no problem. And of course, her one son was Bhima, who was noted, who was famous for his strength. She said, don't worry, Bhima will take care of this Rakshasa. So yes, they had to send a whole cartload of food. And on the way, Bhima couldn't resist, so he ate the whole cartload of food by the time he got there. And then the Rakshasa was there waiting, and Bhima finished the Rakshasa. So the whole village came out the better because of this fight with the Bhima and the Rakshasa. Asat Sabhaya was the vicious assembly where Jyoti, they were trying to see her naked, and she came out much better. She got hundreds and thousands of saris out of the deal after Krishna protected her. And because one time Krishna got a cut on his finger, and Draupadi tore a piece off of her very expensive sari. That was the time when she was in the capital, in the palace, as the wife of Yudhisthira. They were in the emperor's palace. And Krishna had visited it, but got a little cut, and so she tore off a piece of her extremely, full of gold, silver, everything, sari, and put it around Krishna's finger. And he said, okay, I will pay you back one day. So now in this vicious assembly, where they were very bad men, not good men, so Krishna saved her, and he gave her unlimited saris in return for that one little piece of sari, and he protected her honor. And Krishna, in Nectar of Devotion, said, this call of Draupadi has put me into her debt, and I cannot pay her back, just because she said this Govinda with full heart. So Prabhupada said, it's not so good to try to save yourself, you just depend on Krishna. Krishna, if you save me, it's all right, otherwise, kill me. So the next thing was in the forest. They lost the gambling match, and they had to go to the forest, living on the ground for 12 years. So, and after the 12th year, they had to remain incognito. Anybody can tell me, what was the benefit? How did they come out better from living in the forest? How did they come out actually stronger and better? And because I think some of you have heard this Mahabharata.
I think, was it when they lived in the forest that Duryodhana got in a jam and Arjuna?
Oh yeah, that was the first thing that happened.
Yeah,
Duryodhana came to show off his opulence to the Pandavas, who were living very poorly. And he was captured by the Gandharvas, who knew why he came to the forest. And then Yudhisthira said, ordered Arjuna and Bhima, you go save the Kauravas. Very humiliating. So yes, he tried to show off his opulence, but the Pandavas came out better, because then they saved him from the Gandharvas. That's one example. Any other examples? So many things happened in the forest. Yes, they got Gatotkach. They got him, and he saved Arjuna from that dart. He took the invincible dart of Indra, which was meant for Arjuna from Karna. And also they got a lot of good association in the forest. All the sages and saints came to visit them. Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, Krishna came. So they got such good association. Markandeya came. So many great sages. Arjuna also, he got weapons in that time when they were out in the forest. He went up to the heavenly planets and got all the special weapons. So they came out better. Then on the battlefield, of course, they won the battle by the grace of Krishna. And so we can see, if we have difficult times, if we can actually depend on Krishna, we'll come out for the better. We'll come out for the better. Arjuna will actually make us victorious, and we will come out for the better. So when challenges come, we depend on Krishna. And actually, I was just in Sydney month of April, and they were telling me how the Harinam, they do Harinam, and they used to do Harinam when 40 years ago when Prabhupada was here. The first Harinams, they were harassed so much by the police and by the council, and so much. But then after that, devotees established themselves, and now the council likes them. So this time they're out in Harinam, and one Buddhist lady was harassing the devotees. And so the council came out and defended them. They said, listen, these people are good. You leave them alone. So I heard you were telling me also the police here are also favorable. They will protect you too. So just see how it's changed. Times have changed. That now the authorities appreciate my Krishna conscious movement for the devotees have to fight. Of course, there was one in Australia, one experience, incident that happened right in the beginning when the devotees came, that there was a building was on fire. And there were some ladies trapped up on the third floor. And they were making the Rath Yatra canopy. So they took the canopy out and held it and had the ladies jump into the Rath Yatra canopy and save their lives. So that was on the paper. And they said, oh, they used their sacred thing to catch the ladies. So then they asked the devotees, will you be using this thing now after the ladies have jumped into it? Said, yes.
And Prabhupada liked that.
Yeah, Prabhupada liked that. He liked that too. It showed how the devotees, just like this young man was here saying, kind, we should be kind. So devotees are kind too. It's one of the qualities out of 26. And so Krishna is giving us protection. We all need protection. But not as much as he wants to give us. He wants to give us so much, but we are not accepting his protection. And Prabhupada explained, if you want full protection, then sarva-dharma pariteja mamekam sharanam vacha. Give up your own manufactured, concocted means of protection and surrender to me. So every time Prabhupada would quote this verse, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender, he would translate it in a different way according to what he was talking about. So in this case, he said, give up your concocted, manufactured means of protection and surrender to me. That's what it means to abandon all your ideas of protection and accept my protection. So protection from what? What do we need protection from? And that is from sinful activities. That is our protection. Prabhupada used to pray, according to Shruti Kirti, please protect me from Maya. Brahma, Lord Brahma, he prayed in third canto, please protect me from two types of fall down. One is from pride, and the other is from deviation from the Vedic scriptures. So we should feel this need for Krishna's protection. We feel comfortable, Prabhupada said, we cannot make progress. He said, a very heavy thing. As soon as you think I am very comfortable here, then you are spiritually fallen. You are comfortable in this world, then Maya. That is Maya. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we should pray, please protect me. Please engage me. Engaging is protection, actually. So how to chant like this? Radhana Swami, he gives an example from his life. Before Krishna consciousness, he used to deliver newspapers door to door. So one time he opened somebody's door to put the paper in. He was face to face with this massive dog with his mouth wide open, ready to bite. And so what he did was call the owners right away. Mr. Smith, come and get your dog. Mr. Smith, Mr. S-. Soon as the owner shouted at the dog put his tail between his legs and went whimpering back to his owner. So when we are being attacked by Maya, then we have to call the owner of Maya, Krishna. And he will come and he will protect us. So, our first homework question for tomorrow will be this. How do you see Krishna's protection in your life today? Protection. How are we depending on Krishna? So I would just like to open it up for discussion. Any ideas? How do you feel Krishna's protection in your life? So the devotees know what to look for today and tomorrow. Before tomorrow's class, we'll be looking for Krishna's protection. This is our first question. Yes?
I think the Srila Prabhupada's instructions for how to live are
great.
I see that the more I'm able to follow them,
Yes, okay, the protection is following Srila Prabhupada's instructions how to live. Very good. That's a shelter, it's a real shelter. Okay, any other ideas? Yes?
Chanting.
Hare Krishna is a shelter, is protection. Yes. From sinful activities, from falling down, from so many things. Okay. So now the Pandavas, Kunti, they were in so many dangers. What was their consciousness like after going through all these dangers? Narada Muni met Krishna and he was joking with him. And he said to Lord Krishna, "My dear Lord Krishna, by becoming your devotee, look how happy the Pandavas are. They've lost their kingdom, their wife is insulted, they're banished for 12 years, just because they're your devotees. So this is a very nice thing, isn't it? But the wonderful thing I see is that in spite of so many problems and dangers, their love for you has increased. They're loving you even more after all these dangers. You have a question?
No,
sorry. Oh, that's okay. No problem. Go ahead. Be comfortable. So this is the devotee. And Narada said, Prabhupada said, Narada, he quotes Narada, "What kind of hypnotism you do, I do not know." And actually, we were like that with Prabhupada. Prabhupada, one time, he asked the devotees, he asked his disciple, "Is a devotee simple or crooked?" And the devotees would say, "Simple, simple." Prabhupada said, "No, crooked. Because I cheated all of you, I tricked you into becoming devotees." So we don't know how. He didn't say how, but I'm sure he did trick us. Because how are we just going to drop everything and follow him, you know? Why? Why should we just follow Prabhupada, drop whatever we're doing and follow him? It's like, and that's how it was when Prabhupada was here. Outside, if you were outside, you were not a devotee. Only if you were in the temple were you a devotee. It was quite rigid in those days. And so that's, it meant we had to leave everything, our lives, and just move in and become devotees. So how we did that, we don't know. We think back, how did I ever just do that? So the Pandavas, they went through so many dangers, inconveniences, but still their love for Krishna increased. So there's a verse, Tatenu Kampam Susumikshamana, from the prayers of Lord Brahma. Devotees, when they have some difficulty, oh, this is Krishna's mercy. That's the first they think, okay, it's coming to me, it's mercy. I should have suffered 100 times more, but you are giving me just a little. So this is your mercy. So verse 25, here is the reaction of Kunti to all the dangers. First she says, "Thank you for saving us." And then what does she say? "Give me more." Give me more danger. Why does she say that? Let's find out. Vipara santuta shashvat tatra tatra jagakuro avato darshanam yatsya apurar bhava darshanam. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so we could see you again and again. For seeing you means we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. So she did not desire an anxiety-free life, but a life of trial, if it keeps her in Krishna's association. So, my question to you is, should we pray like this? Bring me more calamities. Yes?
I spent some Swami was giving class one time. Yeah, saying it was one temple where they actually prayed for cleanliness, and like the Sankirtan band got smashed up, and then they decided they realized that that prayer was over their level.
It's so not on their level. Okay. Sankirtan band got smashed, so they realized, okay, back to the prayers. Let's reword this prayer a bit here. Yeah, I know a devotee who did that too, and she just broke one bone after the other, you know. She told me she tried to take the prayer back, but it didn't work. So think before you pray. Actually, in all my classes, I only met one person who was definitely for praying like this. And that, her name is Shimati. I don't know if you know her. But she's definitely on the fast track back to Godhead. And so she was telling us why. She was convincing us, yes. Why do we want to stay here in this world any longer? But what I would say is that the calamities are coming anyway, so why? No need to pray for them. They're going to come anyway. We're going to have calamities in our life. So Kunti is praying for more danger because now Krishna is leaving. This is the point. He is leaving to go to Dwaraka. He's leaving Hastinapur. And when they were in trouble, he was always with them. Krishna's saying goodbye, and she's lamenting. You did so much for us, you saved us, and now we've got the throne. You're going away? No, I don't want this. I don't want the throne. Vipara Santu, let us always remain in danger, but please don't leave us. Don't go. I prefer to remain in Vipad. When I see you again, then I advance in Apunar Bhava Darshana, not taking birth again. So at the end of the prayer book, Prabhupada writes, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead. So our challenge is to transform difficulties into sources of freedom. So if we're put in a dangerous position and that helps us remember Krishna, that is our gain. And I found that a lot. When I'm more in a, you know, it seems like a dangerous position, you know, in an airplane and there's turbulent or something, then you do think, okay, well, now I might die. Better I chant now. I should really chant very, or if like you're going in a taxi from Vrindavan to Delhi, then you really have to chant very nicely because the drivers are not so good in India. They like to go on the other side of the wrong side of the highway because the gas is cheaper on the other side. So I've been a few times in that vehicle going on the wrong head-on to the other lane of traffic, which is coming head-on and doesn't see you yet. Until the last minute, of course. Anyway, this is when you really think of Krishna. Well, first I'll pay the extra, go on the other side for the petrol. Anyway, it's like, this is life. I mean, there's always danger, even when you think there's no danger. Because last week, the volcano erupted, and we were thinking, oh no, now how are we going to fly? And we were thinking, okay, maybe we have to take the ferry from France to Ireland, or something. So we were looking into alternative ways to come. But anyway, Kunti, her distress, Vishnu Chakravarti comments that her vipad, her distress, was her sampad, it was her opulence. Her vipad was her sampad. Her distress was her happiness. And her sampad, her opulence, was her vipad, her distress. So her sampad, what people normally think is happiness, was Kunti's distress. Just imagine if you had the whole world as your kingdom and you were the king of the whole world. That's what she got, and that made her very unhappy. And when she was not having anything, then she had Krishna, she was very happy. So what we learn is that if you're with Krishna, then hell becomes heaven. And you're without Krishna, heaven becomes hell. Even you may be in a beautiful place, all the facilities, but if Krishna is not there, then it's a very distressful condition. So Srila Prabhupada, he realized Krishna's hand in everything, Krishna's protection. One time he was very sick for 3 days. He had a fever and diarrhea, and his servant was feeling very sad, and he was watching him. And at the end, Shatakirti asked him, he didn't ask him a direct question because he was afraid to ask Prabhupada. He just said to Prabhupada in a very general way, "Does the pure devotee suffer?" Mm-hmm. So then Prabhupada answered in a personal way. He said, "No, it was a lover's bite." Mm-hmm. So the 3 days of fever and the 3 days of all this distress, for him, it was Krishna biting him. Mm-hmm. That's how the pure devotees see Krishna in their lives. So the devotee is tested by Krishna. And Acharya Rishi asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, is it true that Krishna is testing us every day?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, if you want a responsible post, then there is the question of test. If you want to become a bum or a vagabond," he said, "then there is no test for you. For you, no test. You just remain vagabond." So for devotees, there is test. And so Acharya Rishi said, "The more advanced devotee, the more severe the test." And Prabhupada said, "No, after you pass the examination, no more test. But before coming to the post of recognized devotee, Krishna tests very severely. That one has to pass." So there are severe tests before you become recognized by Krishna as a top devotee or a good devotee. Or you take some position for Krishna, some risk preaching. Then you get tested. So, but after you pass the test, no more test. So that's what it's like when you are now in anartha nivritti. It's like the testing period, testing time. So many struggles, so many problems sometimes come up in the devotees. So many doubts come up. It's a testing period. Once you get past nishta, then it's all very nice. Prabhupada explained that it's like going up the hill now, up to nishta, and then nishta, it's like you're equal. And then it's downhill all the way, because you're coasting down when you get to ruchi asakti bhava, then it's quite nice. So we just need to pass the test. And then the devotee asks, does the test depend on one's faith in Krishna, passing the test? How do you pass the test? So Prabhupada said, of course, Prabhupada said, "What is faith? Okay, what do you mean by faith?" So then the devotee said, "Conviction." Prabhupada said, "Conviction in what? What is your conviction?" Then he said, "Krishna is the controller." Prabhupada said, "Oh, Krishna's controller, you may have faith or no faith, that doesn't matter." Wrong answer. Mm-hmm. So then, Harishari, if one is convinced Krishna will always protect him, then Navayovana said, when he's convinced to abide by the instructions of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada said, yes. Faith means you are meant for giving some service to Krishna, and you should stick to that service in spite of all impediments. That is passing of the test. So he said, generally, just like we're meant for preaching, so there may be severe tests, but we'll remain undetermined. That is wanted. So many impediments, but still you should do it. Not as soon as there's some difficulty, okay, I quit, I give up. There may be severe tests, but we'll not give it up. We'll go on. And that is determination. So then he said, oh, passing the test means executing the order of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada said, yes. One has to take order of the spiritual master and execute it despite all impediments. And that is determination. So one example is there. Prabhupada was giving a lecture in India, Hyderabad. And one Indian gentleman raised his hand after the lecture. He said to Prabhupada, I think Arjuna is not a pure devotee. Because he heard the whole Bhagavad Gita. Krishna said, you should not lament. But then, during the battle, Arjuna's son, Abhimanyu, was killed and Arjuna was lamenting. So he's not a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, no. He said, this is natural if your son dies. It's a human nature that you will lament. But the proof that he's a pure devotee is that he did not give up the fight. He didn't say, okay, I quit. My son died. That's it. I'm going. I'm not fighting. No. He went to fight even more valiantly after his son died. In fact, the next day, he went through the whole army of the Kauravas all the way to the end to get the person responsible for his son's death. Jarasandha. Not Jarasandha. Jayadratha. So this is the proof that he's a pure devotee. Even despite the fact that he was lamenting for the death of his son, he did not give up the fight for Krishna, the service for Krishna. So that is the proof he is a pure devotee. So next, verse 26, who can approach Krishna and who cannot? Jamaishwarya shita shibir etamana madapaman naivaha tyapitatum vai tvam kinshanago shanam. My lord, your lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So, anybody have the problem of too much money here? I don't think so. Or beauty, or knowledge, or high family. I think we don't have these problems so much. Because here we are all temple devotees mostly. But in the world, even for devotees, these can become problems. If you think this will give me shelter, I am very rich, so my money will buy me out of any problems. And in this world today, this is a fact. Pretty much you can buy yourself out of anything. Or you might have connections. My birth, my father is in a very high position. He will save me. Or you might have some knowledge, or you might be very intelligent and clever. If you get in some problematic situation, you can get yourself out. Or you might be very beautiful. If you're beautiful, then you can also get out of so many problems in this life. You just smile at someone, and you're out of your problem. It's just, if you're very beautiful. And so, Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. So Prabhupada tells a story that there was a rich man who had a wife who was sick, and her servant was also sick. Both of them were sick. He called the doctor. Doctor came, he took the temperature of the wife, and he said, oh, she's not so sick, it's just barely 38. Is this centigrade over here? Yeah, centigrade or Fahrenheit? I forget what country I'm in now. Centigrade. Mm-hmm. Even though you have miles, you're using centigrade instead of Fahrenheit. Okay, that's interesting. I thought centigrade went with meters. Okay, so 38. So your wife is not so sick, but the servant, oh, very sick, 41. She has 41, almost 42. So then when his wife heard that, she said, oh, this is terrible. I should have 41, and my servant should have 38. I should have more than her. So this is material life that people are thinking. I should have more money, I should have more cars, I should have more better job, but it's simply increasing the fever of material life. And also, another analogy is like if you're in the ocean of material existence, the more things you have, the faster you're going to go down in the ocean. The faster you'll drown. So people now, of course, they think computers and all these things, of course, we use computers too for Krishna, but these are signs of advancement. But actually, we see now all this, the mobile phones in India are just like, everybody has one now. Even the lowest rickshaw wala, and they all have their mobile phone. And the contamination in the air is so intense. And if you go to Mayapur now, you see that all the coconuts are diseased from these mobile rains. Did you notice those? They used to be all green, and now they have this diseased part on them.
It's hard to get a good one, isn't
it? Yeah, it's hard.
At the end, and that was really throw it, and they chop a few to find a good one.
Yeah, now you can't, used to be they were all good, and now you can't even get a good coconut because of this mobile radiation.
Really?
This radiation.
Is, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I understood. And some of them are even like dripping water, the coconuts. They're like open, they're like weeping sores in them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I always insist for a green one, you know, don't give me one of those. So, yeah, these are the signs of advancement, and the Tulsis are dying. It's just hard to grow anything, so what to speak of us and this contamination, if this is the effect on the plants. But people think, oh, this is advancement. Mobile phones and these things, cell phones. But this is actually a symptom of the diseased condition of life. So people who are depending on these things for happiness, they cannot feelingly address Krishna. Prabhupada said, Jai Rana Madhava. They cannot say this. Because they have so many other things out. Their heart is, their mind is cluttered with different things. So the point here is that material assets are considered obstacles, and we think that this will save me, this is my shelter. And people are depending on these assets for protection from the struggle for existence. But actually, the real protection is, as we said before, the holy name and service and the instructions of the spiritual master. So, Prabhupada, he wrote, I'm just going to read a few verses from Prabhupada's poem, Vrindavane Bhajan, where he sums up this feeling of becoming bereft of material things, but then getting Krishna in return. I'm sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this mood, I am getting many realizations. I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything. But I have no money, so they are a fruitless glory. Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. By his strength, it has all become tasteless to me today. Yasyaham anugrihnami harishe tattanam shanai. I gradually take away all the wealth of those upon whom I am merciful. How was I able to understand this mercy of the All-Merciful? Everyone has abandoned me, seeing me penniless, wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh. In this Maya Samsara, whom do I really love? Where have all my loving father and mother gone to now? And where are all my elders, who were my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me, who? All that is left of this family life is a list of names. So, 100, 200 years from now, what will be left of us? Will just be a name somewhere. We'll be remembered for being a devotee, most likely, not being part of our family. I don't think our family will have a list. I don't think we'll be in the list, not in that list. But hopefully we'll be recognized as a devotee of Krishna in some list. Devotees will say, oh, there was this devotee, used to go on Harinam. There was this devotee, used to give class, write books. So yes, what will be left? Who will remember us? Of course, you won't have any family, but I might be a great, 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 great grandmother for somebody. But I don't know my great, great grandmother. I don't know who she, you know, that has no meaning to me, who she was. It lived 100 years ago, or over 100 years ago. We don't remember. So now another point from this prayer is the naked form of material nature. What does that mean? Has anybody seen this? The real form of the material nature.
Suffering. But death and, you know, one living entity is food for another.
That's the real reality. That eat and be eaten. Struggle, survival of the fittest. Suffering. Struggling.
I have an experience. It was sort of like just before I became a devotee, but it was like I was experimenting with LSD, and I was working at this natural foods restaurant, and everyone was buying stuff, and it just seemed to me like senses seeking their objects, you know, and it seemed to have no ultimate meaning at all. You know?
Right.
I was just giving them something to supply the senses. They were giving me some money, but ultimately, you know, it seemed incredibly empty. It's really nice.
Very young. Okay, so that was the naked form that you saw?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the news.
Yeah.
This is material world. It's empty senses and their objects just getting together. And it's not even, it doesn't have anything to do with us.
Yeah.
That's the worst part, is that we're just like kind of being pushed or being controlled. But actually has nothing to do with us. So I also remember from Bhagavatam a nice verse in second canto about the universe of form. How the smile of the universe of form is the most alluring material energy. But then one of the next one or same verse, it talks about the teeth. So if you're attracted by the smile, you might get sucked into the mouth and then crunched by the teeth. So that's the naked form of material energy, is that you're attracted to the beauty, but then you get kicked and you get crushed by the reality that there is no love there. There is not what you're looking for. There's no happiness. There's no love. It's just completely cruel, actually, material nature. So Prabhupada said, therefore, Vedic civilization is to give up voluntarily, become a kinshana, become without anything material. So Prabhupada said, I had a dream. My Guru Maharaj was calling me to take sannyas, give up everything. And I was thinking, oh, this is horrible. But he forced me, and that was his mercy. So I can understand how merciful my Guru was to make me take this life up. And then he also said that we have our nice facilities, but we should always remember it's not for our comfort, but it's to attract people to come to Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada gave two examples of someone who is a kinshana. Two people who were a kinshana. One is Gaurakishordas Babaji, who just had nothing at all except perhaps a pot to drink or eat from. And there was his guru, his disciple, Shribhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who had 64 temples and so many. And the way he would preach, he would go on a very expensive boat up and down the Ganga to preach to rich people. He would go in a very expensive car, even more than Prabhupada's. I was reading his biography, some kind of, can't remember, but one of the most expensive cars, even nowadays. And Prabhupada just had these ambassadors with a big tilak on, but Bhakti Siddhanta had very expensive cars. So, but Prabhupada said he's just as a kinshana as Gaurakishordas Babaji, because he never thought this is for me. And Srila Prabhupada was also a kinshana, although he had so many temples. He said, I'm cursed like Daksha not to live anywhere more than 3 days. So one time a reporter asked, where do you live? And Prabhupada said, I live in a 747 jet airplane. That is my house. Yes. So that is the life of the preacher. That is the life of Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 1977, he went to Bhuvaneshwar. At that time, the land was a wild jungle full of mosquitoes and snakes and scorpions. In fact, my husband and I, we visited that place. And we even stayed in Gaur Govinda's hut on one side and Maharaj was on the other. And it was really no electricity, no water, and very, very run down. And so arrangements had been made for Prabhupada to stay at the guest house, government state guest house, very comfortably. But Prabhupada rejected that. He said, no, I will stay in the hut, which Gaur Govinda has built for me. So he stayed there for 17 days, and he laid down the cornerstone of the temple in Bhuvaneshwar. So Prabhupada was a kinshana. He was not attached to his comfort. He would give up anything for preaching. And we can see it. Can you imagine at the age of 69 taking a boat ride to America for 1 month, having 2 heart attacks, and then going on to preach for at least 1 year before anybody would follow you? So that was Prabhupada's example, a kinshana. So your first question, of course, was about protection. Now we have question number 2 for your homework for tomorrow, and that is, how does Krishna take and how does Krishna give? Notice in your life today how does Krishna take away and how does Krishna give you something? So do we have any ideas how to see Krishna in this way? Giving and taking. Yes?
I'm afraid you have to ask me. It's a bit too much, but I just wanted to, in relation to what we're just beginning to say, last time you were here, I mentioned something about my birth mother because I never knew
her. Oh, your mother. Oh, you never knew her, yeah.
Yeah, like, I was fostered and then I was adopted.
You know, like, you were adopted child.
From birth, I was given away. So I was a bit curious. And recently, one devotee encouraged me to check it out. And so over last year, I went through her system. It was free of charge. And they found her in London still.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She was a German artist. Apparently, my father was an Indian. Doctor or something.
Wow. Indian.
Yeah.
That's why.
She was a medical student. She was an artist. She was in Chelsea Art School in Kensington in London. Gave me away during her studies, you know. But anyway, she was German. But anyway, I found that sense. So it's just like it came to a dead end because she went off the rails. Like mentally, she'd gone off the rails. And the last 10 years, she's been in this care home for elderly or people with some mental disorders.
Oh, wow.
They wouldn't tell me exactly what it was. Not Alzheimer's, but I think you know, just the whole trauma of everything she's through. She was described as an intelligent woman, a highly strong, intelligent woman.
Then
they were supposed to broach the subject that I was looking, but the man that was the psychiatric nurse, he just asked her about this child, and she denied it. But it's on a record that she had me the year, you know, that year.
Yeah.
She denied it, but then she said that her social worker 10 years ago was her daughter. She's like all confused. So they didn't want to say that I was looking for her because they said it would just be too much for her to cope with. So the woman in Belfast, the councillor, is saying it doesn't look like it's going to go anywhere. So then, you know, I wasn't sure, like even my grandma, she was saying, oh, I wouldn't really bother, but I went a bit against the ways of life. And I wasn't sure if it was all a good idea because I just thought, well, this is destiny. You know? But there was a little bit, you know, and I was thinking, maybe she's got money. But with someone to back up saying, you know, in your chart there's supposed to be money coming out. She said,
no,
you meant, you know, to get. But it's not in other charts I've had done, there's no, you know, I've
never been to get.
Okay, anyway, so.
let go of the whole thing. But it was, no, for me it was more sort of an emotional thing, really. But I just had to let go of it after.
Yeah, you do.
And then Krishna came to me like last Sunday when I realized I just have to let go. You know.
Yeah, right. When you let go, a lot of things happen.
Yeah, and Krishna just gave himself to me.
Yeah.
I got into it already. I never really had been that bothered for years.
Krishna is telling you, I'm the one. I'm the real one.
And then that Gopi Varanam Tata, that line.
That Gopi Tata, yeah.
I'm your maintainer. That kept coming around in my mind. And I was saying, what does that mean? And then someone mentioned that in the class. That
yeah, Diana,
right. She was going through the symptoms of standing. Krishna says, I'm your maintainer.
Yeah.
So I realized he was telling me, don't worry.
Yeah, I know. He's your real one. And it's another interesting thing, another person who had, she wasn't adopted, but her mother gave her to her sister at birth because she couldn't really handle her so well. So she gave her away to her for the first 5 years and then she took her back. And so this devotee also had this, always, you know, why? You know, she gave me. And then she was on a 64-round day at a retreat and then she got this also with Krishna that, you know, I was also given away at birth.
Yeah.
And she felt better after that. Yeah. No, I mean, Krishna was also given away, you know.
And then, you know, your whole life flashes through and it's just a moment, a speck of time. And
yeah.
Anyway, so what...
Yeah, well, it kind of makes you feel like probably less of a sense of security. But I mean, you know, I had my mother, and It didn't. There's no security. My mother and my father. But there's no security there actually. You realize that. I mean, you're thinking like that because you didn't have it, but we had it, and we can tell you that even if we have our, at least in my case, there was not security there. Okay. So how does Krishna took away your mother at birth, but I think it's very nice that you had an Indian father, and I think that accounts for your devotional.
Originally, my idea was if I could prove he was, my father was Indian, if I had like some document.
Yeah, then but you can't.
Visa,
no, you can't because you're adopted.
You can't
do that. Yeah, forget it. Yeah, don't worry. Krishna will take care of your visa. And you're not going anywhere. You're here with Radha Madhava. He'll give you your visa for Goloka. That's all you need. Visa for Goloka Vrindavan. Okay, verse 27. So think about how Krishna takes and how Krishna gives you. Namo kinchana vittaya nivitta guna vittaye atma ramaya shantaya kaivaya pataye namaha. My obeisances are unto you, who are the property of the materially impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied, and therefore you are the most gentle and are master of the monists. So if we have nothing materially, then what do we have? Krishna. We have Krishna. So in the purport, paragraph 1 in the middle, Prabhupada says, Akinchana means one who has nothing to give materially. Factual devotee or Mahatma does not give anything material to anyone because he has already left all material assets. He can, however, deliver the supreme asset, namely the personality of Godhead, because he is the only property of a factual devotee. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna says, if someone wants me at the same time wants material prosperity, he is a fool. Because he wants to drink poison. Why should I give him poison to drink? If the mother sees a child going after poison, then she will take the poison away. So vishaya, material enjoyment, is the same as the word visha or poison. Visha and vishaya. So therefore, it's poison. This vishaya is visha. It's poison. It's a type of poison. Vishaya is a type of poison, visha. And so therefore, Krishna is so kind. He won't give us this poison to drink. Instead, he says, I will give him my lotus feet, charanamrita, and he will forget all about this material things. But Prabhupada said also, he quoted the verse, Yasyaham Anugrahami, if I especially favor someone, and then I take away all his sources of income and place him into great difficulty. Then Prabhupada comments, in this way, Krishna is very dangerous. So in some places in India, South India, they don't worship Krishna because they know his reputation. They are afraid to worship Krishna because you might lose everything. And especially, they may worship Krishna sometimes, but they won't give him a flute because the flute is even more dangerous. If you hear the flute, you'll forget everything and you may leave your home and lose everything. So Srila Prabhupada said, when I was in my family life, I thought, okay, I'll become a very rich man and I'll use all my money to finance my preaching work. And he said, I had good opportunities. The astrologer said I should become as rich as the richest man in India. He did, actually, but that was after he became a devotee. I was a manager of a big factory. I had my own factory, and the business was very successful, but eventually everything collapsed, and I was forced into the position of carrying out the orders of my Guru Maharaj. And when I lost everything, I approached Krishna, saying, you are the only shelter. So Krishna is a kinshana vita, property of the materially impoverished. When Krishna takes everything away, then you turn to Krishna. So he said, also, I had 5 children. No, I have 500. That was in the early days. Then he got 5,000. And so I also had this experience when I traveled, because I have one son, and I still have him, but not with me. But one thing I realized is that by traveling all over in different places, I have so many sons, so many daughters, so many mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, that Krishna has really increased my family rather than decreased it. And you, when you preach, then you realize the whole world is your family, actually. Even I'll be somewhere and, you know, some stranger will take care of me or help me. And so that's Krishna. That's Krishna. He takes care of his devotees. So then it says, Nivritta Guna Vritaye. If you take Krishna as the only possession, then you become free from the gunas. And Atma Ramaya, after you become free from the gunas, then you will enjoy. You will, just like Krishna is Atma Rama, when you connect with Krishna, then you can also be Atma Rama, self-satisfied, because Krishna gives himself to his devotee, who has nothing else but him. So, Kunti's lamenting, it's better to be a Kinchana, because now we've gotten our kingdom, we've become Kinchana, now Krishna is leaving us. And there is one story from Indradyumna Maharaj's pastimes or his travels. He had one Muslim who became his disciple. And before he was a very rich man, then he came to Vrindavan, he prayed to Radharani, please remove all the obstacles in my path of devotional service. Went back to his country. His business was lost. Then he started a new business, smaller. And then he asked Maharaj for initiation. And Maharaj asked him, so what are you doing now? You have more time. You're not doing so much business. He said, oh yes, now I'm chanting 32 rounds a day. And then he said, and I had a realization when I was worshiping Allah, then Allah gave me everything I wanted. Then I started worshiping Krishna, and Krishna took away everything, but he gave me his lotus feet. So now I'm happy. Of course, it's not just if you worship Allah, the Hindus also, the Christians, everybody, they can be, just go, you know, go for some material things. But the actual highest thing, higher than any material thing, is to get the Lord himself, Lord Krishna, as your only possession. So this is the teaching of Queen Kunti, to just go for Krishna. Don't go for his opulence, go for him. That's the best thing. So we'll stop here to review the two homework questions for tomorrow. How do you feel Krishna's protection in your life today? And secondly, how is Krishna taking away and how is he giving? So you can choose one of these or you can do both as you like. Any questions or comments? On this particular, on these verses.
I just have one question. I think you gave us two homework questions, and I think you dealt with one. Did you deal with both of them? I just didn't remember giving the second one.
What was that?
I think the first day you gave us two homework questions.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. I forgot to ask you the results of the second question. You're right. Yeah, remind me next time at the beginning of class if I forget.
Right.
Okay, so the second question was, if you could not see Krishna in your life, what was the obstacle preventing you from seeing Krishna? Right, I even forgot that. So, did you have something on that?
Well, this is not remembering, actually. Mm-hmm. To look, really. Mm-hmm. So, you gave us that instruction to look, and I remember looking on the bus ride.
On the bus
ride. And at that atheist.
The atheist. Yeah, he made us remember Krishna.
Among the arti, I was remembering that point. And I noted those three things, but I was thinking, like, most of the time, I wasn't remembering that.
To see Krishna. I know.
And then when on the bus ride, I was noticing that, you know, I wasn't really seeing Krishna, because, like, in India, if you go on a bus ride, you'll see so many things that remind you of Krishna.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Some, you know, Lakshmi is, you know, this or Krishna is that. It's not like you're reminding of Krishna. These Belfast suburbs, they just didn't remind me of Krishna somehow. You know,
she agrees.
These school kids wearing their maroon uniforms, they didn't remind me of Krishna.
Didn't remind me. Well, yeah.
Everything is distracting you from Krishna.
Yeah, it's really hard to see Krishna in the. Yeah, so I mean that's a good exercise. and then you realize, oh, how much did I forget Krishna during the day?
I was getting ready for Malarti, and my remembrance of Krishna was just the fact that I was trying to do everything quickly so I would be on time.
That was
the extent of it.
Doing quickly.
My my conviction that I could be there on time if I was just very efficient, and then and there I was.
Yeah, on time, right. I was also on time today, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason. Yeah, so that's good. That's good. It's good to think, oh, I'm not remembering Krishna. Then you're remembering.
Right, yeah, to realize that it's a problem
if we're not remembering. Yeah, I know. I mean, we space out a lot, actually, in our day. We think we're really Krishna conscious, but actually, moment to moment, we're not so much. We're just kind of, like, I know I was having dreams, I was sleeping on the bus and I was dreaming, actually. Something strange, but I was tired. But yeah, remembering Krishna. Anybody else have something on forgetting Krishna yesterday? Not remembering Krishna.
Because it was the cause of forgetting.
Yeah. Why were you forgetting him sometimes?
I guess it was material absorption.
Absorption?
Yeah.
Or is it just distraction?
Yeah,
you could say distraction of the material world. It's very distracting. And that's the purpose, to distract us away from Krishna. The purpose is to distract us. I think you took a picture, there was one movie sign, Maya, the name of the movie.
Right, yeah.
You see that?
Yeah, right.
I thought it was the name of the actress. I was reading Maya Janet Jones. I thought, whoa, what a strange name she has.
And I pointed that out, to, by the way, it's a great, we posted a big word, Maya.
Yeah, Maya. It was like, I thought it was her name. I said, wow, it's interesting that a Western lady would have that name. Anyway, yeah. So we could forget Krishna. Okay, so we'll stop here. If any more questions? Any questions or comments on these verses?
Did Prabhupada ever advocate praying like he did for troubles?
Not that I know of. Yeah. I don't think he advised us to pray like
that. That's good to know.
No, I don't remember Prabhupada ever telling us to pray like that. To pray for calamities. And not in his lectures either. Mm. He was just saying that's how Kunti was. She was like that, but not that we should. He said we should just, dangers will come. He never said we should pray for dangers to come. He said they will come.
Yeah.
And we should just depend on Krishna. Face it and depend on Krishna. Oh, he has to go for lunch, yeah? Giriraj.
Yeah, we
will. We have. Okay, so we'll stop here. How glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Please hand back these papers. We'll use them again tomorrow.
Text is ordered for 12:15, so we don't have so much time.
12:15?
Yeah, she'll have my order for 12:15. Sometimes we get to the end of the day, and I'll have 10.
Okay, so I'm